Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Ayin Hey, and we are at the very top line on daf Ayin Dalad Amid Beis, the two dots. Upoisek imoy kishar hagavoya. So the Mishnah on daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis discuss the halachos of a Ford contract. The Mishnah said, in the event somebody wants to purchase schayra from a seller, he's going to advance the money based on an agreed upon price that even if the schayra goes up in value, the seller agrees to deliver those goods based on what that price that was agreed upon was. So the Mishnah says that's not something that in a vacuum you're allowed to do. And the reason is because chances are that was the metzias, that the buyer would end up getting a better deal. And it looks like the reason the seller is willing to give the buyer the better deal is because he advanced him the money. In other words, he's paying him for the rights to have the money earlier than really he's supposed to have it. It's what we know in the vernacular as agar nater. Kol agar nater is awesome. Now, to be clear, that's not ribis deraisa, it's ribis derabanan. The reason it's not ribis deraisa is because ribis deraisa is only if it's derech hava, and even then, only if it was kitzutza. This happened in the context of a business transaction. It was derech mekach hamemker, and as a result, this is something that the rabbanan prohibited, albeit only midrabban. Now, the Mishnah said that there are two times that this forward contract was something that one was able to engage in. Number one, Yeshloi. Number two, Yotza Ashar. Yeshloi means that the seller has the schayra that he's committing to deliver already in stock. To the extent that he has it in stock, this is going to be okay. Yotza Ashar means even if the seller does not have the schayra in stock, however, there's a fixed price for the schayra so that if the seller wants, he can go take the money he just received and buy the schayra. In that instance, too, the halacha would be that one is allowed to engage in a forward contract. What's the lumdus of Yeshloi and Yotza Ashar? So Rashi spoke out, because then we view this transaction as if it was consummated at the time that the buyer gave the seller the money. If the transaction was consummated at that time, then whatever you do afterwards is going to be okay. Now, to be clear, really, the transaction was not consummated. And the reason is because although the buyer gave the seller money, we know ma'is is not koinus. Now, maybe mideiraisa it's koinus. That's the machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish that permeates the first part of Perek Hazav. But for sure, midrabanan, ma'is is not koinus. So being that all that happened here from a kinyan perspective was that the buyer gave the seller money, that in and of itself doesn't consummate a kinyan. Therefore, we have the Mechsi Keribis. It's for that reason there's a conversation being had, stating that if it's Yeshloi and it was Yotza Hashar, then we say that although no kinyan happened, but we're willing to view it as if a kinyan did happen, and that would knock out any potential Ribis Shilas. The very end of the Mishnah, which is really what we're going to focus on in the first part of today's daf, discuss what happens if there's a forward contract and the price of the schayra didn't go up, but rather it went down. What rights does the buyer have now to back out of this transaction, assuming that's what he wants to do or not? So the Mishnah said that it was a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. The Chachamim said, "Upoisek imoy kishara gvaya." In the event that the buyer wants to protect himself, hedge himself against a price fluctuation that works in the wrong direction, then he should stipulate as such. And unless he stipulates as such, he's going to be boxed into this dollar amount that he agreed to buy the schayret. Rabbi Yehuda said, even if he didn't hedge himself, even if he didn't insert any language that says that in the event the schayret is less valuable, I want to buy it at that price, still, he can say that I understand you don't have any commitment, seller, to sell it to me at that cheaper price, but at the same time, I'm making an ultimatum. Either give it to me at the cheaper price, if not, I want my money back. Now, Rabbi Yehuda's shita is very musbar. Rabbi Yehuda holds that being that all that happened here was that money traded hands, so at the end of the day, if this buyer at any point is going to want to back out, he's going to be able to back out. So if they put language in it that says that you're committing to sell it to me, whether it goes up or if it goes down, at the very least, that whatever the price is now, beseder. But if there was no such agreement and you want to back out, gesunde, hey, you have a right to back out. The reason you have a right to back out is because at the end of the day, there was no kinyan that took place. And the truth is, al ha-chachomim, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, to explain, aleim lahavi araya, why is it that in the event that this language wasn't inserted, the lekech is forced to buy it at the agreed upon price? Can't force me to buy it. At the end of the day, all I did was give you money. There was no transaction that was consummated. So what's pshat in the Chachamim? But the pshat is pashim. It's going to come to life in today's daf. It's because although it's true, Mois is not koinois, but at the same time, Mois is koinois with regards to a mishapara. And Chazal said that if somebody gives money and he shakes hand on a transaction, even though the kinyan was not effective yet, but mishapara me'anche der hamabul me'anche der aflogo hu yifra, from somebody that backs out of a transaction. So when the Chachamim say u'poisek imay kishar gavoy, the Chachamim understand that all that happened over here was is that you gave money, and based on that, if the price goes down, you should not be mechuyev to take delivery. But just realize that once you gave money, now there's a kinyan in your mishapara. So unless you put language in it, you're going to be bailed by the Mishapara. That's where Rabbi Yehuda comes in. And Rabbi Yehuda's chaylik. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afa pisha loy pasakim et kishar gavaya." You can back out. What's the punchline of Rabbi Yehuda? The punchline is, there's no Mishapara. Why not? Why is there taka no Mishapara? So Rashi spoke out. And again, it's going to come to life in today's daf. It's the only time there's a Mishapara if two people agree on a transaction where the transaction is supposed to be effective right now. But to the extent that I give you money in advance and it's understood that you're not delivering the schayer for a long time, where it's understood that it could be there's going to be a price fluctuation where I'm not going to be interested in that transaction, with regarding that, I never agreed to accept upon myself the Mishapara, and that's why there's no Mishapara. Savada, there's an Indian of Mishapara, nobody's chaylik with the concept of a Mishapara, but Rabbi Yehuda holds, the only time there's Mishapara is when the understanding was, we're going to agree on the deal now. You came home, somebody offered you more money, or a better deal, whatever it was, and now you want to back out of your transaction, I'll send them a Mishapara. But to the extent that this transaction wasn't supposed to go into effect anyways for an extended period of time, over there you don't have the Mishapara. Again, it's the end of this Mishnah, the Mishapara part of the Mishnah. What happens in a fourth contract where the price goes backwards? That the first part of today's daf is going to focus on. So we have a lot of ground to cover. The objective b'siyata d'shmai is to make it to the immortal words hadron aloch ezu neshech. So we're going to try to do what we do. So the Mishnah said u'poisek imoy kishar hagavay. The daf begins with a story. Ahu gavra, there was a person diyov zuzi l'nedunyo demechamua. So this was an interesting story. This was a man who was getting married, and the shver committed as part of his dowry to buy jewelry for his daughter. So the chassan's not buying the jewelry, but rather the shver is the one that's buying the jewelry. The shver, however, appointed the chusin to be the shliach to go and buy the jewelry on his behalf. So really, the chusin is buying the jewelry for his kala, but he's not paying for it. It's the kala's father that's paying for it. So the shver gives the aid the money, and he says, go buy jewelry. Okay, so the chusin goes to a jeweler, and he gives him money, and the idea is that, you know, over the course of this engagement, he's going to be delivering these diamonds or whatever exactly it is. Says the Gemara, "Who gave it? There was a person beyond Zuzi Lenadunya, the Bechamua, the Soif Zol Nadunya." In the meantime, the price of the jewelry went down, and the Shver was not happy because here his Edim went, and he's his Shliach, he's supposed to buy jewelry for him. He put up all this money. In the meantime, he could have bought it now 80 cents on the dollar. The price of this jewelry all went down. Now, the shver wanted to back out of the transaction. The jeweler said, nothing doing, and this is the first din Torah that this happy family had. So, also, l'kami de rapapa, they went to rapapa, amalei. So, rapapa said like this, ipaskasi mekishar gavoya, shakul kahashta. If the Aden was shrewd enough that when he gave the money to the jeweler, he agreed and he said that, I'm giving you the money, I'm fronting it to you, but I'm letting you know right now, if the jewelry goes down in value, I want to hedge myself, I'm going to obligate you to sell to me based on the current prices. Well, then that's great. And if not, Shakul may ikara. Then he boxed himself into a transaction. It is what it is. You have no way out. So this was the Psakira Papa. Papa said if the person had language to hedge himself against this price fluctuation, good. And if not, you're stuck. Amalei Rabban Amalei Rapapa. The Rabban heard the Psak Rapapa. They told him like this. I don't understand your Psak. V'iloi Pasik. Shakul Kamei Kara. What? The Aden, this Chassin, is forced to pay for it based on what was agreed upon? I don't understand. All he did was give him money. Mois like Kanu. And we know Mois is not kindness. So why can't you back out? Until you do Meshicha on the underlying item that you're willing to buy, say, you can always back out. So what happened to Mois kindness? Amaluhus, Papa told him, Anonami, the Kabuli Aleh, Misha Paraka Amina. I never said that the Kenyan is Chal. If he wants to back out, he can back out. However, he should realize that he's doing so at his own risk. Because in the event that he backs out, being that he gave money ready, there's a Misha Para, and that's all I was trying to say. And Rapop explained himself. If there was an agreement that if the price works in the other direction, so then we're going to affect it to the benefit of the buyer. Then if the seller now wants to back out, then because he doesn't want to give it to him at this price that was agreed upon earlier, Moicher Kahadar Bey. The Moicher is the one that's backing out, and Mekabala Moicher Mishapara. The Moicher would have to be Mekabala Mishapara. Eloi Pasak. If, however, there wasn't an agreement, and now the Lekech wants to back out, so Lekech Kahadar Bey, Lekech is the one that's being Chayzer, and if that's the case, Mekabala Lekech Mishapara, it's the Lekech that's being Mekabala Mishapara. The bottom line is, interesting story. It comes to Rapapa, and Rapapa said very simple. If you have language to protect yourself, then that's good. If not, you can't be Chayzer. What? No, of course you could be Chayzer, but if you're going to be Chayzer, then you're going to be subject to a Mishapara. Now, Rapapa's saying a little bit of a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? That we say Mishapara even in a forward contract, quote unquote. Even though the idea was for the seller not to deliver, in this case the jeweler, not to deliver the jewelry until some future day, but doesn't matter. The reality is that you gave money, and once you give money, even though the delivery is not going to happen until later, still there's a Mishapara. Now what's the makar to this Chiddush of Rapapa? It's our Mishnah. It's the sheet of the Tanakam and the Mishnah. The way we explain the Machloikas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in our Mishnah, that's exactly what was going on. Could you back out without a Mishapara in the event of a forward contract where the price works against you, or can you not? So it's Pashit. That's where Rapapa was coming from. And the Rabbanan understood that's where Rapapa was coming from. And it's really with that understanding that the Gemara doesn't speak out that Ravina is about to ask a kasha to Rapapa. So I'm going to Ravina to Rapapa. Ravina told Rapapa, I chap Rapapa where you're getting your halacha from. You're getting it from the Mishnah. But he said to me, my Rabbanan, how do you know that the Chachamim in our Mishnah is the Rabbanan who are chaylik with Reb Shimon, who, if you remember from the first Mishnah Perek Azov, holds that Mois is kindness. So Mois is not kindness. Everyone knows that. But what we forget sometimes is that there's a shittas Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that Mois is kindness. Now Reb Shimon's shita is a little bit watered down in that Reb Shimon holds Mois is kindness klapi de lekeach. That the Lekeach can't back out, but Klapi the Moicher, the one that has the money, if he wants to back out, he would be able to back out. What's Pshat Reb Shimon? I am Perek Azov. But the bottom line is, said Rav Yehuda to Rav Papa, I think that maybe Pshat in this Mishnah is not the way you're understanding it. Meaning, how do you know that when the Mishnah says, U'poisikim v'kashar ha'gavoy, and otherwise the Lekeach is going to have a Mishapara, it's that Chachamim that are going like the Rabbanon, who hold Mois is not Koinos, not like Reb Shimon, who holds Mois is koinos, va'afilu hachi, and even though that Mois is not koinos, still the Mishnah said he pasuk ishara gavoya shakul kidahashli loy pasuk shakul kidameigara, that you're boxed in by the Mishapara. Dilma Reb Shimon, maybe the Mishnah is actually going according to Reb Shimon. The Amar Mois koinos. Reb Shimon holds that Mois is koinos, and if that's the case, it's understood why in the Mishnah you have to be pasuk him ishara gavoya, and if you're not pasuk him ishara gavoya, you won't be able to back out because if he pasuk ishara gavoya shakul kidahashli, if you made a deal, okay, so the deal is the deal. You have to honor the deal. But if you didn't agree on a deal, shakul Meikara, you'll have no choice but to take it per the agreed upon price initially, Mishum de Kami Lizuzi, because not Misha Para, but because Moises is kindness. Aval the Rabbanon, Ravina said, but maybe according to the Rabbanon, Bein Pasak, Bein Loi Pasak. Whether you made an agreement, you didn't make an agreement, Shakul Ki Hashto, it could be for sure if you want to back out, you have a right to back out, the Daiti De Inish HaTarazilo, because it's understood that he was never Makabal the Misha Para. In other words, Rapapa's Psak was the Tanakam of the Mishnah, right? It's Pashat. That you see there's a Misha Para, even when the seller is not giving you the Schayra now, but it's understood that he's going to give it to you at a future day. But Ravina challenged Rapapa, and he said, I don't even know if that is Pshat in the Mishnah. Meaning, if Pshat in the Mishnah is Rabbanon, Moses is not Koinois, Misha Para, that's why you have to be placed to give it Kishar Gmei. Also, you see that there's a Misha Para, even in a fourth contract. But Mechitei says Pshat in the Mishnah. Maybe Pshat in the Mishnah is that it's going to be the Rav Shimon, who holds that Klapi the Lokeach, Moses is Koinois Mamish. And that's why you have to be placed to give it Kishar Gmei. Otherwise, you're going to be forced to take delivery at the agreed upon price. But maybe according to the Rabbanon, where Moses is not Koinois, all it is a Misha Para, maybe they agree to the Svara that we spoke out in Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, that you don't say Misha Parah in the event that there's a forward contract. Kishmak. So he told him back, he says, you want to shtel tzu, and you want to say pshat in the Chachamim, in the Mishnah, is really Reb Shimon? Amalei, no, you can't say that, because Eimed Amar Reb Shimon, even though it's true, Reb Shimon holds, that when the Lekech gives money, Mois Koinois Kapit Lekech, but the only time Reb Shimon said that is Bechatara. Meaning, in the event that the price didn't change, of a betrayed tari, in the event that the price changed, me Amar, did Rav Shimon say this halacha? Interesting. Rav Shimon holds Moses is koinos, but Zok Rapapa, the only time Rav Shimon holds Moses is koinos when the price doesn't change. But to the extent that the price changes, Rav Shimon doesn't hold Moses koinos. And if that's the case, he can't invoke Shitas Rav Shimon in the Mishnah 9 days on the days, because in that Mishnah the price is changing, it's going up, it's going down, that's what's happening in the Mishnah. And when the price changes over there, you don't have Ma'is Koinais. And if that's the case, Bal Karchach, who is the Tanakama of the Mishnah, who is the Chachamim, it's the Rabbanon that a Chaylik Rav Shimon, that whole Ma'is is not Koinais. And Afal Pikein, Poisikim Ekshar Gvoy, you can't back out, must be there's a Misha Parah. Even though it's a forward contract, and Rav Papa said, that's where I got my psak from. Now, Rav Papa just said a big chiddush. He said that the only time Rav Shimon said Moses is koinois is bechatara. But to the extent it's trey tari, there's no such Rav Shimon. You need to back up a chiddush like this. And he did. Says Rav Papa, if you're going to tell me that what I'm saying is not right, Misha Parah b'lekech the Rav Shimon. Lastly, it's going to come out that there's no such thing as a Misha Parah with regards to lekech, leave it to Rav Shimon. What's Misha Parah? You gave the money, the transaction wasn't consummated, and now you want to back out. There's a Misha Parah. According to Rav Shimon, it should come out. It's never possible a Misha Parah mitzad lekech. Why? Mitzad the moicher, he doesn't have mois koinois. So, really, he should be able to back out. Misha Parah says he can't back out. That's where there's Misha Parah mitzad the moicher. Oh, but lekech, it's always mois koinois. If it's mois koinois, then there's no Misha Parah. You can't back out because you're a day late and a dollar short. Meaning, if Rav Shimon holds that you always say mois koinos, regardless of chatari, treitari, always you say mois koinos, then what's going to emerge is that there's no Misha Parah mitzad lekech. Okay, who said not? Vatanya, I'll tell you who said not. Rav Shimon said not. You know why? Because the Braisa, where Rav Shimon is talking, and it says, quote, this Braisa was l'il memches, l'il memtes. This is bringing us way back to Perek Hazav. But either way, this is Rav Shimon's Loshen in the Braisa. Mikol mokim kach halacha, aval omru chachamim, Misha Parah. Okay, so Rav Shimon presents the din of Misha Parah, and he presents it with the following preface. Mikol mokoim kach halacha avalom ruchachom em Misha Parah. My mikol mokoim, what do those words mean? It's some inclusionary language. It's coming to say, not just Misha Parah, mikol mokoim Misha Parah. It's coming to be marbe something. Obviously, what he means to say is that Misha Parah doesn't only affect the moicher, it affects lekeach as well. If it affects lekeach, must be there's a time that according to Rav Shimon, Moses is not koinous. Where's Moses not koinous? Must be it's betrayed Tari. If that's the case, you can't shtel to Rav Shimon to our Mishnah. Must be the Chacham and the Tanakam and our Mishnah is who? It's the Rabbanon that are Chaylik Rav Shimon. And still you see, there's a Misha Parah said, Rabbapa, that's where I got my psak from Eloki. Come Rav Shimon, Chatar, betrayed Tari, loy Omar. Either way, this concludes the majority of this story. So again, what was the Maaseh Shaya Kachaya? Where there was a Shver who gives his Aiden, Hassan Danan, money to go buy jewelry for the Kala. The father of the bride is the one that's paying for all the jewelry, but he makes his Eidim, the Shliach, to go do it. Gives money to a jeweler, forward contract, and it turns out that the prices went backwards. And now the Shver wants out. He says, this is a terrible deal. If I went to front to do the money, I can go now and I can save 20%. So why would I do this? And Rapapa said, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, there's a Misha Parah. There's a Misha Parah. And the Rabbanon hold is a Misha Parah even in a forward contract. Midas Chaylik, very nice, but that is the sheet of the Rabbanan. And even though we had a Mahavamina, Ravina's Kasha, maybe the Rabbanan never really said that. Maybe the Mishnah's Rav Shimon, no, we knocked that out. So it's a Mefurish Mishnah. He says, if you want to back out, back out. But buyer beware. You should just know that there's a Misha Parah, and if you're interested in getting involved, at your own risk. Otherwise, it's not okay. So they had one follow-up question. I don't understand why there was a Misha Parah anyways in this Mishnah. Why not? Because he made him a Shliach. Okay, what does a Shliach have to do with anything? So Rashi says, who would be the one being Mekabel the Misha Parah? The Shliach, the Chasan Danan, he's Mekabel the Misha Parah. He's not backing out of anything, right? This is not his money. He's playing with other people's money. So he's not the one backing out. So it doesn't pass Misha Parah on the Shliach. Elamai, the Shver, right? He's the one that's the Misha Parah. But says Rashi, being that he didn't buy it himself, he only bought it through a Shliach, and his understanding when he gave the money to the Shliach to buy the Shver was that the price was probably going to go up. That's the spirit of this whole transaction. That's why it's a Ribbis transaction, maybe. So it emerges then that the way this played out was not the way that the Shver had intended it to play out, which is sometimes the case. Now, if that is so, why can't he tell the Eidim, Litkuni Shidartich, V'loy Lavusi? I told you buy jewelry. The understanding was you were going to buy a Mekach Toif, and you came in, it's Kakoifta Daita Maftayoina. This is not what I gave you the money to buy. I gave you the money to do a good deal. And if that's the case, there's a svara that permeates all sugis of shlichos, where the mishalech could always tell the shlich, Latkuni Shidartich. So the kasha is that being that there's a shlichos over here, so where's the nishapare? The shliach is only a shliach, right? Someone hired me. I'm following orders. The mishalech, he could say, Latkuni Shidartich. So why is there an even a mishapare in the first case? So the Gemara says, Amalei, so Rav Ashi told Rav Acha Breda Rabbi, you have to say that the story with Rapapa was a little bit different than we understood it. The Meisen Shaya Kachaya over there was Betagra the Zovin Umazbin. Now Rashi has two pshatim. It's a one-line Rashi with an inami. That's the right Gerson Rashi, Ayin Shum, that has two pshatim in what exactly is going on. Rashi in the first pshat says that we got the whole story wrong. The case was not where the Shver gave the Edom as a shliach to go ahead and buy it on behalf of the Shver. But rather, what happened was, is the Shver wanted the Chassan to go buy jewelry for his daughter. So he says, I'm not just going to go buy jewelry for you. So he says, I'll tell you what, if you let me profit off this transaction, that's something I'm going to do. And they agreed on a deal. So the Shver gave money to the Chassan, and he said, I'll give you this amount of money. He then went to Chassan, and he bought the jewelry, but there was some wiggle room for him to make a little profit margin on this. It's like this, he can make a little bit of money for the tircha that he invested. But the point is that it was all the Edom, it was all the Chassan that had put the money down, that now wanted to back out, and being that it was all him, and he wasn't acting as a shliach, he was acting more as a middleman, but he had actually taken down the goods by himself, so it's not shlichos, if it's not shlichos, so it's the chosin that's being mekabel the mishapara, and that was this maisa shahaya kachaya with Rapapa. Moving along. Malva adam es harisav, chitin bechitin lezera avaloilach. So we're talking about someone that has a field, he hires a sharecropper to work his field. We've spoken a lot about these Aris and Chakirus relationships. Now, the Baal Hasada in our Mishnah was going to be the one that was going to provide the seeds that the Aris needed in order for him to be able to sow the field. But he didn't want to give it to him for free. He wants to loan it to him. So the deal is that, listen, I'm going to loan you this, the Chitin, for you to go ahead and plant, but I want you to pay me back. And what you're going to pay me back is chitin. I'll give you chitin, you give me back chitin. That's what this transaction is. So the Mishnah says like this. It's okay, malva adam asarisov chitin bechitin, only lezera. As long as it's clear that the Oris is going to take this chitin and he's going to plant it in this field that he was just hired to work. Avaloy lecho, but if he's going to eat it, then this is something that's not going to be okay. Now, why loy lecho? This is sa b'sa. This is a classic Ribbis case where I'm going to give you a sa, you give me back a sa. We're always worried that the sa that you give me back will have been worth more money than the sa that I gave you, even though it's a sa for a sa. But price fluctuations, that's the spirit of these last gemaras that we're learning. And as a result, that would be an issue. But if he does it lezera, if he does it with a very, very specific use of proceeds, where the only thing you're allowed to do with this is plant with it, in that instance, it's going to be okay. Shai Rabbi Gamliel. So the Mishnah says that the reason we're making a big deal about this halacha is because it was the Tana Rabbi Gamliel. He had a different minig with this. Rabbi Gamliel was malves harisov chitin bechitin lezera. Rabbi Gamliel, he used to do this with his aris. He would loan chitin bechitin for zera, for the use of planting. However, this was his arrangement. Biyoyker behusl. Sometimes he would lend it to him when the chitin was worth more, and then it would go down, right? Sometimes when he would lend it to him, it was worth less, and then it would go up. Natural fluctuations. Either way, regardless of which direction this happened, he would always take kishar hazah. Meaning, in the event that when he loaned to his aris, the chitin, it was worth more, and then it went down, he would say, no aris, even though it's worth less, just give it to me. And let's say you gave it to him, it was less, and then it went up, he would say, I'm not taking the chitin, I don't want to take more than what you gave me, let's figure out what the shahar hazal was, and based on the shahar hazal, that's what you would give me. So Rabbi Gamliel's minig was that he never wanted to profit off of this. He didn't want to take any ribbis. If it went down, he would take a loss, but if it went up, he wouldn't make any profit. Now that was Rabbi Gamliel's minig. So the Mishnah's coming to say that although Rabbi Gamliel didn't want to profit on a sabisa with his aris, even when it was Lizera, you should know that Malva the Mesaris of Chitim Chitim Lizera. Meaning, this that Rabbi Gamliel did, Loi Mipnei Shalacha Kain, it wasn't the Ikar Alacha, rather the Ikar Alacha is what we said, which is it's okay. He wanted to be Machma Latzmai. This was a Chumra of Rabbi Gamliel, which you find scattered throughout Shas, even in Mishnayos, Rabbi Gamliel had different Chumras, but the bottom line is this is a Chumra of Rabbi Gamliel. This has nothing to do with Ikar Alacha. So what is the Ikar Alacha? That if somebody wants to be Malva his Oris Chitin, in exchange for chitin, as long as he does it, lezer, it's going to be okay. Lechol, it's not okay. That's sabasol, which is ribis drabanan. If, however, it's going to be lezera, then it's going to be fine. Okay, so we know the halacha. You're allowed to give your aris chitin in exchange for chitin, as long as he uses it for zera. Question is why, right? Why is that something that's okay? The answer to that will emerge in this next Gemara that we are going to learn. And the way it's going to emerge is the Gemara is going to present a Braisa, which, as we'll see, to a degree says the halach of our Mishnah. However, there's a very big nuance that's different than the halach of the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to ask the Stira, the Gemara is going to work it out, and then b'meshech this discussion, from here until the bottom of the Yomid, we'll understand this halach. Tanu Rabban. Malva adam es harisov chitin bechitin lezer. So far, so good. That's the first halach of our Mishnah. But medvar mamurim, when is that true? Shlo yarad. If the aris didn't start working in the field yet, avol yarad. But let's say the aris is already working in the field, meaning he started doing the avoida, and now you're going to loan him chitin fechitin lezer. Aser, it's not going to be okay. Similar to our Mishnah, but not our Mishnah. Similar to the Mishnah that the ikur halacha malva adam asaris of chitin fechitin lezer. But where's it similar? The Baraisa made a caveat. Bamedvar Mamurim Shalayat Aval Yarad Asa. The Mishnah didn't say a word about Bamedvar Mamur. It's afraid to go. Mishnah Tana did on the like Mafi being Yard being Layard. Why is it the Tana of our Mishnah didn't make any chilik between Yard and Layard? The Mashnah Tana Bara, why is it Tana the Baraisa did come Mafi being Yard being Layard? He did make a chilik between Yard and Layard. Amar Rava. So Rava said, Rav Idi Asbury Nahali. So there was a Yid whose name was Rav Idi. He's underrated because you find Rava quoting him in Shas that I didn't know Pshat in this, and Rav Idi came. And he explained this to me. But either way, so Rav Idi explained to me, I'll tell you the terets and the reconciliation between this Mishnah and this price. It was a Metzias difference. In the city where the town of our Mishnah lived, it was the responsibility of the aris, of the worker, to provide the seeds, lizera, in this field. Being that that's the case, bein yarad, bein lo yarad, whether the aris started working, or he didn't start working, until he provides the seeds, matzi masakle. If the owner of the field wants to throw them out without cause, this is something he's allowed to do. Why? Because the deal is you're going to provide the bizra. Until you provide the bizra, that means you didn't start working yet. It wasn't chal yet, this arisos. Okay, if that's the case, therefore, we say as follows. What we say is that v'chi konachis, even if the aris started working in the field, the owner of the field can lend him the chitin b'chitin lezera, and the way we view it is lebatz mahachi konachis, as if he's not lending it to him, but rather he's just building it into the overall aris contract. In other words, this line is the mafteach to understanding the Mishnah. The reason a owner of a field is allowed to be malva his aris chitin bechitin lezera is because we don't view it as a loan. If you have two people that have no business relationship with each other, and one person comes over to the other and he says, "I can use a loan. In Kesef Tal Vezami, can you please lend me some money? Okay, it's a loan. You loan me chitin. It's a loan. What else is it? But over here, there's this intricate, complex relationship between the owner of the field and the artist, where he's going to work, and there's going to be some profit sharing, and there's a whole bunch of covenants and pages of documents that explain exactly what is going on in this transaction. So in the event that the owner of the field is now going to give him the seeds, the way we view it is just another clause in the contract. I mean, it's not a loan. What it is it's part of the arrangement. You're going to give me X amount. I'm going to take from you a little bit less, the aris, because of the fact that you're the one that's providing me with the seeds. But we don't look at it as a loan. If we don't look at it as a loan, simimela, there's no problem of sabasa, and therefore it's not going to be an issue. That only works up until the time that the aris starts working. The minute the aris starts working, once it's chal darisas, you can't do this anymore. Unzer Mishnah was talking about a place where it was the aris's job to provide the seeds. Until he provides the seeds, even if he's working there, he's working, that's fine. But it wasn't chal yet darisos, because he is in default right now of his agreement. His responsibility is to deliver certain things. Until you deliver, it didn't officially close. And if that's the case, so it didn't start yet. So if you want to be malvav chitin b'chitin lezeri, you could. We're not going to view it as a loan. We're going to view it as just a clause in this overall agreement. As a result, it's not going to be ribbis. So again, in the town of the Tana Didan, the minig was for the aris to always provide the seeds. Until he provides it, the arisus didn't happen, and therefore we can invoke this kula of chitin b'chitin lezera and look at it not as a loan, but look at it as part of the overall arisus arrangement. And it's true even if the aris started working. If the aris started working, that means the arisus started. No, till you fulfill all your... And just because you moved in doesn't necessarily mean that you own it. You have to close, right? He didn't close it because he didn't live up to his end of the deal. And that's why the town of our mission didn't discriminate. It said, I don't care if he was yard, he was law yard. It's all neither here nor there. Of a bas with the town of Baru, but in the city of the town of the Braiso, who did make a distinction between whether or not the Oris was yard, was law yard. So the other meaning was Mari Ariyah of Bizra. It was the responsibility of the owner of the field to provide the seeds. Now, in this case, he doesn't want it. He says, I'm not providing it. So if you want me to provide it, then go find another job. You're going to work by someone else. I'm not going to give it to you. I'll loan it to you. But say, he has a right to do that. But the minig was, minastam, based just on the nature of the agreement, that it's his responsibility. So if that's the case, ilo yarad, if the aris didn't start working yet, the matzi masikle, where if he wants to back out, he can back out. So then, if he says, I'll give you chitin b'chitin lezera, ki kanachas, abatsa mehachi kanachas, we look at it not as a loan, but rather, abatsa mehachi, we're just going to reduce it from the overall arrangement, it's going to be fine. If, however, he started working, tolei matzi masikle, where he can't be masalikim anymore. Why? Because we agreed on everything. The aris didn't provide the chitin lezera. It's never his responsibility to provide the chitin lezera. The Baal Asada has to. The Baal Asada decided he doesn't want to, so he decided he doesn't want to. But at the end of the day, once he started working there, the arisus is in effect. Being that the arisus is in effect, so you can't renegotiate it. If I can't throw you out, I can't renegotiate. And if I can't renegotiate, if I give you the chitin, what is it? It's a loan. If it's a loan, that doesn't matter. Even if it's lazer, it's going to be a problem. And it's for that reason, it's going to be also. So the bottom line is, this is a little long-winded and a little convoluted. But what's pshat in the Mishnah? Malva adam asaris of chitin b'chitin lazera, avaloi lechel. Lechel is also because that's sabasah. Sabasah is also. Lazer is mutter because we look at it not as a loan. We just look at it as part of the overall agreement. There's this complex agreement. So part of the agreement is, I'm going to give the chitin, you're going to give me back the chitin. It's not a loan, chitin b'chitin. It just gets somehow muvla in the overall arrangement, and that's something that is going to be mutter. The only time you could do this is before the arisus actually goes into effect. When does the arisus go into effect? We have a Mishnah and a Braisa that seem to give a different time, and it's really based on Minig HaMalkim. In some places, the Minig HaMalkim was as soon as you start working there. In other places, no, there's certain boxes you have to check off first, like actually providing the chitin, etc., etc. A person can tell his friend, halveni kor chitin, loan me a kor chitin, v'koitz it's loydam. However, he can't say that I'm going to give you back the chitin. That's not something you're allowed to do. What could you say? You could say, loan me a kor chitin. Let's figure out how much the chitin are worth. And based on that, I'm going to write you a check. Whenever this loan is due, I'm going to give you dollar for dollar, whatever it is I took. Right? So to say, alveni kor chitin, I'm going to give you back a kor chitin, that's not sabasa, that's kor bekor. Right? which is a lot more than a sub, but that's a problem. That's not something you're allowed to do. What could you do? You could say the value of the kor is X. I'm going to give you X when the loan is due. Says the Brisa Vayter, who's lu? What happens if the chitin go down? Noisin chitin. You could just give him chitin. Just give him back the kor. Hukru, if it goes up, noisin demay. Then you have to give him money. You can't even read the Brisa, right? So what happened? You have somebody that's lending somebody a kor chitin. They know there's halach of sabasa, so they say, no worries. The understanding is that the lawyer is not going to give a kor chitin back, but rather what is he going to do? He's going to give the value. It's worth $1,000. That's what he's going to give him. Now, if the chitin goes down in value, just give him back chitin. Give him $800 worth of chitin. If it goes up, then you give him the $1,000. Straight to Gemara. Why, if it goes down, do you have the right to give him the chitin? He agreed to give him $1,000. That was the agreement. That's what it sounded like. So if that was the agreement, why is that mutter? I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, Hachi Kamra, you have no choice, and you have to say that this one-line brisa is really made up of a resha and a seifa. The way you read the brisa is like this. Oymer adam lechaveroi, halveni kor chitin, v'koytzitz loydam. In that case, what's the halacha? You always have to give him the money. It goes up, it goes down, you agree to give him money. $1,000. This is the safe, that's the last few lines of the braisa. Let's say you didn't make an agreement. Then, huzlu, if it goes down, you can give him the chitin. Hukru, if it goes up, you can't give him the chitin, because that's already ribbis. So what do you do? And that's where it's negeya. You give him the name. A person should not tell his friend, halveni kur chitin, loan me a kur of chitin, and when I harvest and it's the shasa goyren, I'm going to give back to you the chitin that you gave me. Why can't you do that? Zakrashi. Again, this is sabasa. It's all the same inyan. This is sabasa. You're not allowed to do this. Avol, here's the chiddush. What he is allowed to do is he tell him, halveni, will you please give me a kur chitin until my son comes? I can't find the key right now to my storehouse. Meaning, I have the schoira, but I just don't have access to it right now. In that case, it's going to be okay. Why is this mutter? Yeshloi. So even though sabasa is a problem, but where it's yeshloi, especially over here where I want to give it to you right now, it's not like a forward contract where it's yeshloi. I literally want to, I have it. I don't even need it from you. The problem is this second, it's like a short-term bridge loan. I just need it till my son comes up. So if that's what this is, the chai gavna, it's going to be okay. The hilloi, sir. Hill says no. Hill says even in that case it's not going to be okay. Hill was a machmer in Hilchas Ribbis. Here's another chumra of Hill. It's not the same. It's a different one. A woman is not let alone a kikar to her friend. So your neighbor knocks on your door, the chavrta comes and she says, can you please give me a loaf of bread 1 second? I have to wait, I have to measure it, let me figure out how much it is. Don't give me back the loaf of bread, give me back $1.25. Right? That's how you have to cheshbon this. Because otherwise, it's sub-a-sub. It's going to be a problem. He was worried. Shem and Yukr Chitin, Venimtsus Bois Lede Ribbis. And we were concerned that it might come Lede Ribbis. This was Hill's Chiddush, by the way. We'll see in the Gemara that the Chachamim were Chaylik. And the reason the Chachamim were Chaylik with Hill is because they held that even though Sabasa is Aser, and this sounds like Sabasa, but at the same time, this was a Dover Muat. And by a Dover Muat, Chazal, we're not Goyser Sabasa. Zok the Gemara. Omer Ravuna, Ravuna said, Yesh Loisa, Loivasa, Sasayim, Loivasa. So, Sabasa is a problem. If, however, it's yeshloi, then it's mutter. Or even going back to the Mishnah, that find on the base. Ain poiskin ala peres achi yetzah. But if it's yeshloi, it's mutter, right? Yeshloi is one of the great sukulas in our sukkis. So Rav Huna said like this, that yeshloi has to be pound for pound. So if you have a saw, then you can borrow a saw. If you have a saw, you can buy 2 saw. 3, 3. It has to be literally saw. He said, you can have 1 saw, and with that 1 saw, you can borrow literally kamakur. A kur is a lot more than a saw, and you can borrow kama the kamakur. As long as there's 1 saw underpinning this, it's fine. What's Pshat in Rabbi Yitzchak? Pshat in Rabbi Yitzchak is because when I do a saw b'saw and it's yeshloi, I'm not giving you the saw, it's still mine. So if it's still mine, so this person who has a saw, he wants to borrow now saw b'saw, and he knows Chazal said saw b'saw's mutter where it's yeshloi. So you can go over to Reuven and say, can you please lend me a saw? Is it yeshloi saw? Yeah, I have a saw. Okay, no problem. And then he goes to Shimon and he says, can I borrow a saw? He says, yeah. Nobody is filing a UCC on this saw, right? It's not like it's mortgage, so you can do it again, and you can do it a third time, you can do it a fourth time, you can do it a fifth time. This is something that if he wants to do, he can do, because he owns it. Now, why is Rav Huna hold you can't do it? Rav Huna holds he can't do it because although it's true you own the sah, when you go over to Shimon, Hagam, you already used it as your quote-unquote yeshloi when you took from Ruvein. But at the same time, in Lumbus, why does the sah work? He spoke out to Rashi again today. It's because we look at it as if it was Kani Me'achshav. So being that we look at it as if it was Kani, we look at it as if it's Ruvein, so therefore you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's a tart of the sasri, and therefore you can't use it again. So what's the machloikis Rav Huna, Rabbi Yitzchak? It's very gishmak. Rav Huna holds that I can use one sah for a sah, but I can't use 10 times for this one sah. Why? Because once I use it, it is viewed in halacha as if it belongs to the person that loaned me the sah. So if it's his, how can I go mortgage it out now to somebody else? Rabbi Yitzchak says, it's true, it's viewed, but it's only a ke'ilu, right? How far do you take ke'ilus? It's only a ke'ilu, but it's not real. I mean that it's not real. It's really mine. So if it's mine, when I go to Ruvain's, it's a yesh loisa. It's mine when I go to Shimon's, it's a yesh loisa. Based on that, this is something I should be able to do. What the Rishonim talk about, Ayin Shum, is what happens if I want to borrow more than two saw at the same time using one saw? Meaning, in our case, it's very neat. You go over to Ruvain, can I please borrow a saw? What are you going to give me in exchange? A saw. Do you have a saw? Yeah. And then you go to Shimon and you rinse and repeat and you do it over and over again. You got Kamakurin for your one saw. What if I go over to Ruvain and I say, will you give me 10 saw for my one saw? Dear Bevas Achas, you're trying to take 10 saw and all I have is one saw. So I go over to Ruvain, will give me a saw and another saw and another saw. That's a lot of paperwork. It's a little tedious. Lawyers will make money, but okay, I guess that's maybe something you can do. But what if I want to do a bevas achas? Is that something I could do or can't do? There is a tzad that maybe you should be able to do that. Either way, the Hillel oisne, Hillel, going back on the Mishnah, said that in the event that somebody wants to borrow saw b'saw, and he has it, it's Yeshloi. He says, Alveni Achiovoi Bni, Ayacha Emsa Mafteach, Taloch is its mutter. Hillel said it's going to be us. Amrav Nachman, Amma Shmuel, Halacha Kidivay Hillel. Taloch is like Hillel, Oper Velasil Chazakabasa. Even Rav Nachman said it, and Shmuel said it, and Hillel said it. But Taloch is not like that. We hold that it's mutter where it's Yeshloi. The halacha is not like Hillel. Tani Reb Chiya, so going back to the one son, the two. So Tani Reb Chiya, listen, you hear the Reb Yitzchak. Reb Chiya taught a braisa to support the shita of Reb Yitzchak. What was Reb Yitzchak's shita? Afilu yesh loy sa, loy v'im olea kamakurin. Even if you have one sa, you could borrow kamakurin. So he brought it right from a braisa. The braisa is talking about where somebody wants to take yayin from somebody, and we're determining if it's yesh loy or ein loy. So the braisa says like this, tipas yayin ein loy, tipas shemen ein loy. Somebody was coming to borrow yayin, was coming to borrow shemen. And the Braisa says it doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Because he doesn't have any yai. He doesn't have any shemen. But what's the lashon of the Braisa? Don't say he doesn't have barrels of wine. It's that he didn't have a tipa of yai. He didn't have a tipa of shemen. Hayeshla, it sounds like if he had a tipa of yai, a tipa of shemen, loy v'leo kamatipin, he'd be able to borrow kamatipin. What do you see in this Braisa like Rabbi Yitzchak? Because, let's be honest, somebody's knocking on his friend's door, can you please give me a tipa of yayin? I want a little bit. I understand, but you're borrowing a little bit. Maybe you take a sip out of a cup, but you're borrowing a tipa, it's not mistaba. So probably this person wanted to borrow yayin. And the deal was, I'll give you back yayin. And the issue was, it was up, it's up. And the price says it didn't work, why? Because he didn't have a tipa. Oh, sounds like if he would have had a tipa, that would have been enough initially. So you don't have to have sub besos, a sign besos, sign. As long as you have something, even a tipa, right? Even so, you don't have to have. As long as you have a little bit of a something, a little bit of a tipa, that would be okay. The Hillel and the Mishnah said that even where it's yesh loy sub besos is going to be a problem. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Shmuel. Halacha k'dibre Hillel. Rav Nachman said the name of Shmuel, the halacha is like Hillel. The last hilchos akabosei. But the halacha is not like Rav Nachman, it's not like Shmuel, it's not like Hillel. The halacha is that really sub besos where it's yesh loy in the event that a person says, halveni achiyovoi bni, oi achi emtze mafteach, it's going to be imot. V'chein hoye Hillel oimer, loy talva isha v'chu. Hillel used to also say that a woman should not lend a kikar to her chavrita unless they figure out how much it's worth and you attach a dollar value to it. Because otherwise, you're going to run into a problem of sabasab. We spoke out in the Mishnah that chacham obviously were chaylek. Why were the chachamim chaylek? Because the chachamim held that it's a dover muet. Right? What are you talking about? A loaf of bread? It's not some fancy business transaction. And for a dover muet like this, it's only sub is all it is a vak ribis, it's going to be mutter. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Zudivrei Hillel. This is the sheet of Hillel. The Chachamim say, Loivim stam, Upayrim stam. In a situation like this, where again it's a davar mu'ud, everybody holds it's going to be mutter. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Rabbi Yehuda said another thing in the name of Shmul regarding Hillel's halacha. Bnei Chapura hamakbidin zelzeh. Let's say you have Bnei Chapura. You have a whole bunch of people that they live together, they're traveling together, but they're makbidim zelzeh. Meaning they're not great. They're nickels and dimers. So they're together and They have to hunt. They have to somehow figure out a way to survive. But this is mine and this is yours. Shalish, shalish, shalach, shalach. Right? They're really medactic with each other's. So when you have a chabur like this, they're bound to run into some halachic issues. Number one, over mishum mita, umishum mishko, umishum minyan. So if you take a look at Tosfos Dibra Maskil B'nei Chabura, so Tosfos goes through and he explains what these things mean very, very clearly. But high level, what it means is that, believe it or not, contrary to conventional wisdom, there are times where a person is allowed to transact on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. It's a Mishnah Masechtas Beis that there's an idea that you're allowed to go to the butcher on Yom Tov and you're allowed to buy, but there were certain halachas that were put into place that you shouldn't just talk in the chayil digishprach. So there were certain things you weren't supposed to do. So for example, if you wanted to borrow from somebody wine, you shouldn't say, will you please give me 8 ounces of wine? What you should do is, please fill up this cup with wine. You shouldn't mention the mita. Or if you wanted to buy a certain amount of meat, don't say, will you please sell me a 16-ounce piece of meat. Don't mention the mishkel. Say, I want a shiny piece. You know, but don't be too specific. Or minyan, don't say, I want this amount. As long as you don't talk in a very chodig oifen, that's going to be okay. So said Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, that bnei chabura, that I'm akpid in zelzeh. So inevitably, if they spend Shabbos and Yontif together, they're going to sit there and they're going to say, I'll give you a little bit of wine if you give me a little bit of gefilte fish. And they're going to start talking in terms of mida, mishkel, and minyan. Why? Because they're so makpid on each other. So they're going to end up running into these problems. Additionally, umishin loivim ubayir. They're going to violate the issa to borrow and pay on Yontif. Now, I thought we just said you could borrow and pay on Yontif. You could, but you could do so if you don't say, I'm borrowing. You don't say, I'm paying. You have to speak in vague terms. Now, the only time a transaction works between two parties if they're speaking in vague terms, if there's a wink-wink and there's some level of trust. But if nobody trusts the other guy and every document needs 3 signatures and witnesses and needs to be notarized, well, then it's not really going to work. So these chevre, because they don't trust each other, they're not wink-winking for a little bit of chrein. You want chrein? No problem. It's a loan, you owe it to me, you got this much of it. So because of that, they end up violating this as well. And then Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Kedivrei Hillel, and according to Hillel, Af Mishum Ribbis, this is also going to be a Ribbis problem. Because every time they're going to borrow, if the person's going to give a little bit more, there's going to be Ribbis. Thus says, Shalei Alibi de Hillel, it's not a problem. Because by a Dover Muit, we're not really worried. But in Hillel's world, it's going to be a prophet. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Tamidei Chachamim, Mutarin, Lilvois, Zem, Mizeh, Beribis. Tamidei Chachamim are allowed to borrow from each other with Ribis. That's interesting. We waited till the last daf to find out that the laws of Ribis do not apply to anyone that's learned. Okay, my time. What's the reason? That's what the Gemara says. Now you have to read the fine print. Mei deyadei deribis asuru, umatanuhu deyavu ahadadi. Because Tamidei Chachamim know that Ribis is also. So to the extent that you agreed to give Ribis, so obviously, you mean to give it b'teiris matana. I mean that you mean to give it b'teiris matana. It's not a problem. Some say that it's not just that when you're giving the ribbis, it's b'teiris matana. When you borrowed it, you got it as a matana, right? It's not the pshat, oh, there's a loan, and now when you give the interest, you gave the interest b'teiris matana. The loan was never even a loan. When you got it l'chatchil, mutarin l'vei zeh b'zeh, because they're giving it b'teiris matana, the original loan was a matana. So you don't even have the basis for there to be a ribbis problem. Now, the Rishonim say, could be this only works if it's a davar mu'it. Could be it only works if it wasn't kitzutzas. Again, I am Rishonim. Amalei Shmuel da'avu bar'ihi. Shmuel told avu bar'i. Halveni mea pilpulin. Bemei ve'esu. He says, will you please give me 100 pilpulin and I'll give you back 120. The arich. And it was okay. Why was it okay? Because it was only tamid chachamim and it was a matana. And being that it was a matana, it sounds like even if it was kitzutza, right? But it was a matana, and based on that, it was going to be okay. Amrav Yudam Arav, mutaloy la'adam lahalvois banuv b'nei beisav eribis. A person can lend money to his own family, banuv b'nei beisav. Why? Kedei lahatim on tam ribis. It's actually something that's encouraged because you want to give them the taste of ribis. Meaning, ribis is tempting. To borrow the ribbis, that is. But, you know, you want them to know that it's not such a good idea to rack up debt that involves high interest payments because it could be a problem. So you want to be mechanech your children. Say, you want something, no problem. I'm lending it to you. You're going to give it to me on interest. And the kid's going to chav. By the time he's bar mitzvah, he's going to have liabilities in his balance sheet. He's going to say, rebuy the dal bakulo. I'm going to find another way to make a parnasa one day. And it's not a bad thing. Kidei la'atimam tam ribbis, but the Gemara says, even though it sounds like an interesting chinuch technique of a v'lav milsi, we don't pass in this way. It's actually something that you should not try at home, literally. Mishum da'asi la'misrach, because you know what's going to end up happening? I'll tell you what's going to happen. this person is going to chop that you don't want to borrow beribis, but it's actually not a bad business to be a lender beribis. So it's true, you're going to disincentivize him from being a loiva beribis, but you're going to incentivize him to be a mice. He's going to say, my father's killing it off of my Hanukkah present. So based on that, you know, he's going to start doing the math. You know, if you have enough volume, this is a good parnosa. So push it. You just don't want ribbis to be in your house. It was an interesting attempt, but really you shouldn't do this. Just one ha'ara, just to come up for breath for a second, before we go weiter, and that is, so we had Hillel mentioned in our Mishnah, the first Hillel. What did Hillel say? That sub besos osner, even where it's yeshlai. And the Gemara said, I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Ashmul, halacha kidibri Hillel. Rav Nachman, say in the name of Ashmul, halacha is like Hillel. And then the Gemara says, v'les hilchas like Abba say. However, it's not true. We don't pass like Hillel. Not like Rav Nachman, not like Shmuel, and not like the underlying Shita, which is the Shita of Hillel. If you think about it, based on Klolei HaPsak, which is something that, you know, we try to talk about, Be'ezus Hashem, it's a Pel. Because everybody knows that when it came to all things Chayshe Mishpat, the Halacha is always like Rav Nachman, and the Halacha is always like Shmuel. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kehillel, and then the Gemara says, Toich Kedei Dibur, literally, V'les Hilchas HaKavase, it's a Pella. How could it be that the Halacha is not like Rav Nachman and not like Shmuel? Even Hillel. Okay, base Hillel. But not like Rav Nachman, not like Shmuel, when there's Klolim throughout Shas, where we know we always paskin like Rav Nachman, we always paskin like Shmuel. Now, it's not a Kasha, right? Because when we say that the Halacha is always like Rav Nachman in Chayshe Mishpat, or the Halacha is always like Shmuel, it means that if it's like Itmar Hilchas, like Kamar, so there's a certain Klol. Right? All Klolim are meant to be used in the event that you don't know otherwise. Right? Sometimes we pass like Beishamai, even though the greatest Klal of all time is Beisham Makam Esul in a Mishneh. That's fine. We always pass like Rava, but there's a Simin called Yal Kagam. So if the Gemara says Las Hilchas HaKavase, it's not a Kasha. It's just interesting that Rav Nachman said this and Shmuel said this, yet the Halacha is not like Rav Nachman and not like Shmuel. But I think the Mahalach is Pasha. I think the Mahalach is, and we mentioned this many times, certainly in some of the older Shumer from the last Machzer, and that is Hilchas Ribbis is not in Chayshe Mishpat. Hilchas Ribbis is in Yeridaya. And the truth is that as much as Ribbis feels like a Chayshe Mishpat to Halacha, it's not in Chayshe Mishpat. It's in Bava Metzia, but it's not in Chayshe Mishpat. Really, it's a Yeridei de Gesugyo. It's a Shaila of this of a Heter. And even though the Gemara at the beginning of Ezra Neshach says that a Malvik Ribbis is a Gazlin, even though he's giving it Midas, we know all that. Obe'ein Mikri Yoitzim Edei Pshuta, Hilchas Ribbis is not mentioned in Chayshe Mishpat. It's mentioned in Yeridei, and it could be, it's for that reason, this is not a Shaila of Dini. Could be it's a Shaila of this of a Heter. And just like if we were learning the Sugyas of Kalayim, and if we were learning the Sugyas of Nevela, just because Rav Nachman and Shmuel said the halacha is a certain way, it wouldn't necessarily mean anything. When it comes to Hilchas Ribbis, it's the same way. And just one marum makin, and that is, there's a shach in Hilchas Ribbis, the very, very end of Hilchas Ribbis. In fact, it's the last shach in Hilchas Ribbis. It's in Simen Kufay in Zion, and the shach is Siv Kot in Samaches. The shach discusses what happens if somebody was Malva Ribbis, and there's a suffix right now, whether the Ribbis was Ribbis Ktsutza, or whether the ribbis was avak ribbis. A shayfu is ribbis deiris, ribbis rabbon. The malva was already goyver the ribbis. He has the ribbis. He has it in his keshena. But the question is, what is ribbis ketsutza or was it avak ribbis? Ribbis ketsutza we paskin is yoytze v'dayonim. Avak ribbis is not yoytze v'dayonim. Now it's a suffix. So the question is, do we take the ribbis from the malva or do we not take the ribbis from the malva? So listen to what the shach says. Hecha de ikas veke de dina, oi machloikis ben apoiskim. Mihavi ribbis ksutso yevak ribbis, kos of the chuvas rab aron sason, besim and kufsam echbez, beshem maharaj di modina, also known as the marajdam, does lirum luchumra, mishum de havi sofik isa dai raisa. You have to go luchumra, you have to give it back. Because the suffix is a deiraisa, ribbis, and therefore the malva has to give it back. For who chalak olav? However, Rab Aaron Sasson was chalak on the Marashdam. Why? He said the havi suffix mamin. And what's the halach of suffix mamin? Ulukula. Da moitze mechaveri olav araya. So we have a machloikis between the gedolei apoyskim. How do you treat a suffix ribbis ketsutza? Where the malva was gaivit already. Now it's a question, does he have to give it back? Does he not have to give it back? The Marashdam said it's a suffix iser. I mean that it's a suffix iser. Sveika, da irayis olachumar, you have to give it back. Says Rab Aaron Sasson, he says, no, just The opposite, it's a Sofik Mammon. And what do you do by a Sofik Mammon? By Sofik Mammon, Hamoitz Mechaber, all over right. What does it sound a little bit like the Shailas? The Shailas, you view Ribbis as an inherent Choshe Mishpat Shaila, it's a Mammonistic Shaila, or do you view it inherent as a Shaila Vesav HaHeter? If you view it inherently as a Shaila of Mammonist, okay, then it's a Sofik Mammon. Sofik Mammon, the halacha always is, Hamoitz Mechaber, all over right. But if you view it as a Yeredeir, the Gesugi, it's a Sofik, it's a Deiraisa. Meaning, is this Mammon that has Isser implications, or is it Isser that has Mammon implications? I think the obvious Sushdal to this, not for now, but it's a ran in Nedarim, Dav Zayin Amad Aleph. It's in the Sugi of Yesh Yad Letztaki, Yesh Yad Lehefka, where the Gemara says Tiboya. Washin Nedarim Mishuna. Taisa speaks to that over there, Nedarim, Dav Zayin Amad Aleph. It's a teiko. We're not sure if Yesh Yad Letztaki, Yesh Yad Lehefka. So if somebody says, I'm going to give Tztaka, but he does it with a Yad, or I'm going to make something Hefka and he does it with a Yad. So it's a Shiloh. What's the halacha? So the Ram brings from the Rajba that the Rajba said that being that it's a teiko and we're not sure what the halacha is, being it that it's a sfeika, the a rice over here, that could be you have a chiv not to give the tztaka, and could be you just mafker it based on sveika de rice, the halachas are going to go lachumer, fake the ran, sveika de rice. It's not a shayla of sveika de rice over here, it's a shayla of sofik mammon. A sofik mammon, you always say, a moitza mechabre over ran. If you go through that ran, it's a very, very long ran. The shayla over there is that tztaka, on the one hand, is a question of somebody makes a neda, I'm going to give tztaka, right? So you mechayiv yourself, there's an itza v'heta component. But then again, there's also it's negeya mammon. And the question is, could you take the money from me or not take the money from me? It's a shayla mammon as well. So high level, you find this chakira, where isir and mammon intersect. Do you view it as a suffix isir? Do you view it as a suffix mammon? That's the ram in the darm dav zayin amal. By the way, why is every suffix Mammon not also a suffix issa because of Loisigza? So that's Reb Shimon and Shari Yosha, the Tumim Skasha, we have red bites on this. But this is not just Loisigza, this is a unique Shiloh over here where you're dealing with the Isurim of Ribbis. But the bottom line is, it could be what licks at the core of this Shiloh of whether or not suffix Ribbis Ktsutza is viewed as a suffix issa, as a suffix mammon, is do you view this as a Chayshamish, but the Gesugya, it's a Mesechtis Bava Metzia. Or do you, the Rama brings it in Hilchas Malva Valoiva, or do you view this as a Yeredei de Geshayla, because at the end of the day, in Shulchan Aruch, that's where the Beisleisav and the Rama brought all the halachas of Ribbis. Either way, moving along. Omer Adam Lechaveiroi, a person can tell his friend, Nakesh Imiha, Vanakesh Imcha, you weed my garden, and I'll weed your garden. Or Ador Imi, you plow my field, the Eder Imcha, and I'll plow yours. That's fine. Meaning, something that you're allowed to do. However, you shouldn't say Nakesh Imi, you weed for me, the Eder Imcha, and I'm going to plow for you. Or Ador Imi, you plow for me, the Nakesh Imcha, and I'm going to weed for you. And the reason you can't do that is because it could be one malacha is more valuable than the other, and there's a little bit of a ribbis issue. So this is a little different, because here I'm not giving you money, it's just I'm providing a service for you. But the way we look at it is, if I provide a service for you, you don't pay me for the service, so it's really the equivalent thereof to actually having given you something, and you're not going to give me something back until a month from now. Why would you do that? Oh, it's Aganata. So to the extent that you give me more than I gave you, it's an Avak Ribbis, and therefore it's going to be awesome. Now, we said that if you say Nakesh Imi v'Nakesh Imcha, Ador Imi v'Eder Imcha, that's okay. If it's when it's two different malachas, that's when it's a problem. So the Mishnah qualifies and says, Kol Yimei Garid Echad. The entire dry season is the same. I mean, you don't have to stop being medactic. You know, you did it when the temperature was like this. I did it when the temperature was like that. So it could be when you did it was a little bit harder than when I did it. So based on that, maybe it should be ribis. No. Kol Yimei Garid. As long as it's the trick in the season, that's all the one and the same. Kol Yimei Riviyachas. And the same is true. If it's during the rainy season, it's all the same. Stating that, Lo Yoymer Lecharosh Imi Big Garid. You shouldn't say, you plow for me during the dry season, and I'm going to plow for you during the rainy season. Rashi says it's more difficult to plow during the rainy season. So you're giving him a better service. Why are you doing it? Probably because he did it for you before you did it for him. It's Aganeter, and therefore you're running into Ribbis. Rabbi Gamliel says, Yesh Ribbis Mukdemes, Yesh Ribbis Mucheres. There's a Musik of Ribbis Mukdemes where you prepay the Ribbis, and there's a Musik of Ribbis Mucheres where you give the Ribbis afterwards. Keitza, Nasan, Enav, Luvois, Emenu. Somebody wanted to borrow money from somebody. So somebody wanted to borrow money from somebody. He's trying to incentivize this person to lend him money. So This is one of the oldest tricks in the books. He starts being very nice to him and even sends him something like Nachai, I guess is like credible Shalach Manas. He knows something's fishy, right? What did I do? What don't I know about? What's coming? When's the other shoe going to drop? But the bottom line is that he was actually pretty straightforward. He said, Bishvil Shat Talveni. He says, I'm giving you this nice bottle of wine because I expect in return a nice loan. Sinzui, Ribis Mukdames. It's awesome. You'll tell me maybe it's Mutter. Why? Because the loan didn't happen yet. I'm giving you this before you actually loan me the money. That's what Gamliel says. This is called Ribis Mukdames. It's a problem. Love him, Menu. What would be Fakir? He was already alone. And he returned the money already. So far, so good. And then after the loan was already closed, done, he says, your money was sitting by me. I'm going to give you this. Zuhi ribis mucheres. That's also going to be a problem. Shimon, Rav Shimon said, yesh ribis dvarim. There's even something called ribis dvarim. Meaning, there's an issa ribis, even if you don't give anything. Just by talking, there could be ribis. How so? Lo yoimalo, you shouldn't say, da ki ba ish pleini mima complaining. In the event that there's a malva loiva relationship, you shouldn't even go and tell the person. So ribis dvarim is not something so subtle, right? Ask your local rabbi. But you shouldn't go over to someone and give him like a good piece of information. Be mevasim surus doifus. Because that already is going to be a problem of ribis dvarim. The elu oivim balois tase. The following contributors, aiders and abettors to a ribis transaction are oivim and alois tase. Hamalva, the lender, valoiv is the borrower, ha'ariv is the co-signer, even the soifer. Now, which lavin are they oiver? So the oiver mishum loy siten, says in the Torah, as kaspecha loy siten loy beneshech u'marbis loy siten ochlecha. Additionally, they're also oiver umishum al tikach me'itoy neshech v'sarbis, umishum loy siya loy kenoisha, and the end of that pasuk is, umishum loy sesimen olav neshech, that's the end of that pasuk, umishum v'lifnei ever loy siten michshol, v'yereisim alaykecha an yeshech. So these are the laven that the oiver, the Gemara is going to explain this a little bit better. Thank you. Shum eichoy said, night loy shpachvei imanav inu rogel hachtam loy shol. How do you know that if somebody owes somebody money, now this person's minig is that usually when he saw this person that was his malva, he would never give him shalom aleichem. Now, how do you know Sha'aslachtam Lo Shalom? You still can't give him Shalom Aleichem. Talmud Loim and Neshech Kol Dover Asher Yishach. And from the word Kol Dover Milosh and Dibor, we learn Afilu Dibor Asa, that Ribis Dvarim is going to be Asa. Reb Shimon is the one that said it in the Mishnah. In the Brice, it's Reb Shimon Bayichoy, but we know Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Bayichoy, soon to be Dover Beitai, but Reb Shimon and Reb Shimon Bayichoy is one and the same. Stam Reb Shimon in Shas is Reb Shimon Bayichoy. So Stam Reb Shimon in the Mishnah that was Mechadish Ribis Dvarim is the Reb Shimon Bayichoy over here in this Braisa. The Elu Oifim. The following are Oifim. So again, the Mishnah said, the Elu Oifim Beloisa say, the Malva, the Loiva, the Ariv, the Edim, the Chamim added to that the Seifer. Now, what did we say that Oifim? The Oifim is Kaspach Loisit and Loibin Neshech. Al tikach me'itoy neshech, le'siyo le'kenoisha, le'sisimen olav neshech, and lifnei iver. So it was five laven, if you're keeping score. So it says, Abay, malva over bekulam. The malva's over all five. Now, if you just want to appreciate the five, es kaspecha le'sitin le'beneshech, there's an isidai reisa to give money. Just giving the money. Forget about collecting. Al tikach me'itoy neshech, that's when you collect the actual ribbis. Im kesef talvas almi es ani imach loisia loikenoisha loisasimen olav nashach. Loisasimen olav nashach is like this general. Don't get involved in ribis. Aber loisia loikenoisha. Don't moon the nashach. Right. Don't be the one that's teveit. And if neiver loisit the nashach, because a lot of people are going to be over yisurim, and you're a big part of this. And as a result, you over lift neiver loisit the nashach. So Abaye said that the malva is over all the laven that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Loiva. What about the loiva? So he's over. So these two psukim are in Parshas Kiseitze, in Mishnah Torah, where the Torah talks about the halacha ribis, and loy sashich is referring specifically to the loifer. Now notice, these two laven were not even mentioned in the Mishnah, which is interesting. It's a little tzarech bir. Why would they not even mention the Mishnah? The Mishnah mentioned the whole list, and then we say that the loifer is included. Oh, you want to know what the loifer is over? The loifer is over too, that are not even mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Rishonim say that the reason they weren't mentioned in the Mishnah is because the Mishnah is mentioning all the ones that the malva is over. These two is only the loifer, it's not the malva, and it's for that reason it's not mentioned. But lifnei iver, see the michshol, the loifer is over lifnei iver as well. The only ones that the Eidim and the Arif over is Loisa Simon Olav Neshech. Tap Toysfa says that it means they're not over Lifnei Iver. Why they're not over Lifnei Iver? You need the Seifer to be over Lifnei Iver. You need the Eidim to be over Lifnei Iver. So Toysfa says, because Lifnei Iver is something you're not always over. Trey Avri Denahara, I am the Tap Toysfa. Tanya, Shimon Oimer. Shimon said, Malvi Ribis, Yoisa Mimasha Marvichin, Mafsidin. So Malvi Ribis, they profit, right? But more than they profit, they lose. So they end up losing more than they profit. They take Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, Moshe was a chacham, and the Torah of Moshe, which is Emes, and they say, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shaya Revach Bedavit, Moshe Rabbeinu know how profitable a Rebbe's transaction could be, he would have never written it. Meaning the Torah says, don't be Malvah Rebbe's. And you're saying, well, you're crazy, I'm not going to give up an opportunity like this, as if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have. So you're taking Moshe, was a chacham, etc., etc., and you're knocking him out. The Chassam Sofer says, what's this lashon? Malvei ribis yoise mi mashe marvichin mafsiden. So he says the pshat's like this. The pshat is there's always a quid pro quo, right? There's a mida keneged mida. You do an aver, you get punished. Mida keneged mida, whatever that is. Now vada, the punishment for doing an avera is much worse than the revach that you get for doing the avera, right? That's bo cheshbin, schar mitzvah keneged hafseid, etc., etc. But there's still a shulchan aruch of how it works. There's some heavenly algorithm that's used to figure out mida keneged mida, how these things work. What Reb Shimon bar Yochai is saying is malvei ribis yoisem imashem arvicha mafsiden. It doesn't work with that. Over here, it's worse. Meaning, whatever the cheshbin is supposed to be, whatever the shuris adin is, no, we're going to tack on. You know what we're tacking on? It sounds like the interest. That's what we're tacking on. He says it's mida keneged mida. He says you were malva beribis, so we're also going to be malva beribis. This is how this works. The oimish comes with ribis, and that's the oimik of the Gemara. Yoisem imashem marvichim. Rav Dimi came, he said, how do you know that if somebody is trying to get money from somebody, and he knows that this person doesn't have the money, that it's awesome to walk in front of him? Meaning, if you know that this person owes you money and he doesn't have the money, don't make it your business to always make this person feel bad. Aser laver lefonov, a sensitivity. It says, don't make yourself and appear to him. Rashi says, you should be sensitive. If you go and you put yourself in this person's face, you should know it's as if you gave this person a judgment, not just one, two. The pasuk says, so the Rashenu Rashi says is the lashon of noisha. So if there's a enoish l'Rashenu, if there's a person that's trying to get money from you, it's as if you had to go through fire and water. That's the shnei dinim. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Kol mi sheyesh mois. If somebody has money, umava oisim shloi be'edim, and he lends this money without edim, over mishum v'lifnei iver loisitei mechshol. He's over lifnei iver loisitei mechshol. Why? Because you're giving this person the inclination and the temptation, maybe to not pay back the money that you just loaned him. Rish Lakish, Amr Rish Lakish says, Goyrim Klala La'atzmai. Not only are you over lifnei iver loisinte mechshol, but you should know that you're causing klala to yourself. Shenem, and he based it on a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Te'olam nosifsei shaker hadoybris al tzadik asak. Meaning, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is, you're going to go over to this person that you loan money to, shalei be'edem, you're going to be tevei the money. And the person's going to say, Lehoyut var me'oylam. You know what everyone's going to say? He's right, and you're wrong. And you try taking money from someone like you did. And people are going to be makalo you. So you're being goyim klolo la'atzmai. And it's for that reason, don't ever lend money shnoloi be'enim. So this next Gemara is going to be the topic of the raid. Amr le Rabbanu le Rav Ashi. The Rabbanu told Rav Ashi, kol mekayim Ravina kol mada amr Rabbanu. You know, Ravina is mekayim kol mada amr Rabbanu. So Ravina Rav Ashi, as we know, had a very close relationship. Soifayra, they're the ones that are the chesimus ha-talmud. The Talmud Bavli, the way we have it, is primarily based on their efforts. But Ravina and Rav Ashi were also Talmud and Rebbe. Rav Ashi was the Rebbe, Ravina was a Talmud Chaver, but it's a Rebbe Talmud. So the Rabbana told Rav Ashi, your Talmud Ravina is Mekayim, kol mad am Rabbana. So Rav Ashi says, I want to see. Sholach, wait, Bahadi Pandi the Mali Shavda. So he sent him Beina Shmoshes on Erev Shabbos, the following. L'shadali mara soru zuzik. Says Ravina, my tired Talmud, can you please lend me 10 zuzim? This is like mamish right before Shabbos. Okay, why does the Rebbe need 10 zuzim? This Ramali Katina the Ariel of Mizben, because I have an opportunity now to buy a piece of property, and I don't know if this opportunity is going to be here after Shabbos. I need to close on this right now, Bein Ashmas. So Sholach Leis, Ravina sent back to Rav Ashi. He told him, Nesi Mar Sahadi, if you bring Edim, I mean, I'll lend you the money, but I'm not doing it shaloi be'edim, v'nichtav k'sav, then we'll write it down in a document, in a shtar, I'll give it to you. Shnolach Leisi, he wrote back to him, afilu ano nami, what, you don't trust me? Well, you have a havamin, I'm not going to give it back to you. Shnolach Leisi, he told him, kol shkei ma, He says, you, I certainly don't trust. Well, the Torah Begir said, because you're so engrossed in your learning, Mishtali, I'm afraid that you're going to forget, the Geirim Klala La'atzmi, and you're going to be Geirim Klala to me, because then I'm going to ask you for the money. People are going to say, you heard Ravina try getting money out of Ravashi. I mean, that's not going to go over well in the gas. And as a result, I'm going to be Geirim Klala La'atzmi. So he says, if you want to document it, good. If not, no. Tanu Rabban. Shloisha Tzayakin Ve'inonan. There are three people that can mamish scream from the rooftops. Rashi says, Bezdin Shalmata, but no one's going to listen to them. Meaning, there are three people that if something bad happens to them, they should realize that they brought it onto themselves. That's really the punchline. That Tzayakin Ve'inonan, and no one's going to have Rachmanis on them, because to be frank, there's nothing really we can do, and really you should have taken care of yourself. Somebody has money and he lends it Shalai Be'edim, and then the person doesn't want to give it back. Well, guess what? You should have been smarter about that. And if someone's kind of Adam Latzmai, the Gemara will explain. And someone whose wife dominates over him. Kind of Adam Latzmai, my he. What is kind of Adam Latzmai, right? That's the only one that's not so self-explanatory. So you can have some say. It's talking about a person where he had money. And Bezdin was trying to be mashpim. Bekitza, he was in court and he said, oh, this wasn't my money, this is OPM. He said, whose money? He said, Nachri. Which Nachri? He said, who it was. Either way, the Nachri found out about this. The Nachri comes knocking on his door. He says, give me the money. You just under oath said in court that this is really my money. Well, guess what? You have nobody to blame but yourself. If somebody writes over all his nechasim to his children while he's alive and they fapachke the geld, or better, they don't want to give it to him anymore. It's fine. Thank you very much. And so then you have no one to blame but yourself. Some say, what's an example of a kind of adam la'atzmai debishle baham masav le'azam la'masachrita? Where somebody has a matziv that's not going so well in a city that he's in, and he doesn't go someplace else, he's koina adam latzman. Now it's a little bit unclear what's the adon over here in this last story, something that maybe we'll address in the next few days. But I'll call him someone where the matziv is not good, and he doesn't leave, right? He's an Indian, a Mishana Mok, a Mishana Mazel. Since a person needs a Shinui Mokim, do it. It works. Shinui Mokim works. The Chassam Soif, incidentally, on this Gemara right here says that just like Chazal said, that if somebody is in a matziv that's not going well, Mishana Mokim, Mishana Mazel, and if you don't, you're Tzoyakin Ve'enon Nenim. You have nobody to blame but yourself. Fascinating. The Chassam Soif says it's true in the reverse as well. If somebody has something good going, don't mess with it. And if you do, and something is not good, you're also from the Tzoyak in the Inonet. It's the same Indian. It works both ways. That just like a person sometimes should be Mishan and Mokim to improve his mazel, there's an Indian, don't be Mishan and Mokim, not to check with your mazel. Either way, we made it to the finish line. Hadran Allah Ezehu Nesha. So just to end with one Ha'ara, quick. And that is a Dover Nifla from Rabbi Reuven Margolis. We spoke this out once, but can't learn Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Hey without speaking it out again. The Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chedesh. So the Gemara in Masechtas Yuma Daf Tes Amid Beis says the following: Reish Lakish Habisachi B'Yardino. Reish Lakish was once swimming in the Yarden. Asa Rabbi Barbachana, Rabbi Barbachana Chen Yav LeYada, and he gave him a hand. Amalei. So as Rabbi Barbachana is pulling Reish Lakish out of the Yarden, so Reish Lakish turns to Rabbi Barbachana and he tells him, "You should know Elokos Onin Alechu." You know, Hashem hates you. So Hashem loves you? No. Hashem hates you. The Chsiv says, why would Hashem hate me? Because it's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says, "M'chaymohi nivna le'atiras kasef, v'mdelesi natzro le'aluach ores." And Reish Lakish went on, and he gave him a whole shtickle Torah, and he told him, you know what that pasuk means? It means that the Shechina did not preside in the second temple, in the second Beis HaMikdash. And the reason is, because most of the Yidden during the Haschalah of Bayis Sheni were not living in Eretz Yisrael, they were living in Bavel. Because when Koresh and Ezra and Nehemiah and Chag Yisrael Malachi, they all came up to Eretz Yisrael by the big Aliyah, in the beginning of Bayis Sheni, most of the Jews refused to come. And because the Yidden weren't there, Rav of Klal Yisrael wasn't there, so for that reason, the Shechina never presided. So Rabbi Rachana, who's from Bavel, Shlokish, who's from Eretz Yisrael, he tells him, you should not, alakos nina lechu. So as he's helping him, he's pushing, giving him a lift, this is what he tells him. So the Gemara says like this: I have a problem with this story. For Shlokish, mi mishtoi bahadi rabba barbachan. Is it possible that this story even happened? That Reish Lakish had a conversation with Rabbi Bar Bachana. Umar Rabbi Lazar says the Gemara, Madach Rabbi Lazar, the Mara Bar Yisrael, who was the Mara, he was the God Adar in Eretz Yisrael. For I have a Mishlei Reish Lakish about that, yet Reish Lakish would never talk to Rabbi Lazar in public. Why not? Because the man the Mishlei Reish Lakish about that, because if somebody was seen talking to Reish Lakish in the Shuk, Yavalei Iska B'loi Sa'adim. People would say that this person must be such an Erlich person that they would give him an Iska. Right? We know what Iska is. We just said Hadron Allah Ezu Nashach. And they would give him an Iska without Edom. They would trust this person implicitly. And Reish Lakish, and the reason is because Reish Lakish didn't talk to anybody. Because he didn't trust people enough to talk to them. And could they kach that if somebody was seen having a conversation with Reish Lakish in public, they were Yavalei Iska B'loi Sa'adim. So Reish Lakish took this mida not to talk to somebody b'farhesya to such an extreme, he didn't talk to Rabbi Lozab. Hadi Rabbi Bar Chana Mishtoi, is it possible that he would have spoken to Rabbi Bar Chana? So the Gemara says, Amr Rapapa, Rapapa says, I hear what you're saying. Must be we have a mistake in the story, we have to change the names. Okay, Shadi Gavri Beinai. Meaning one of the names have to change. Oy, Reish Lakish Habu Z'iri. Could be it was Reish Lakish and Z'iri. So it's true, Reish Lakish wouldn't talk to Rabbi Lazar, but Z'iri maybe he would talk to. Oy, Rabbi Barbachana Habu of Rabbi Lazar. Or maybe it was Rabbi Barbachana and Rabbi Lazar. But either way, Enochinam. It can't be it was Reish Lakish and Rabbi Barbachana, because he would have never been talking to him. Why would he have never been talking to him? Because he didn't even talk to Rabbi Lazar. Demand the Mishtoi. Reish Lakish Bahadei Beshok Yavalei Iska B'loi Sa'adim. So this Gemara is a little bit of a Medrash player. Reish Lakish would not talk to Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar is Mara D'Ara Yisrael. And the reason he wouldn't speak to him is because whoever Reish Lakish spoke to Beshok would trust the person that Reish Lakish was talking to. So if Reish Lakish was talking to Rabbi Lazar, people are going to trust Rabbi Lazar. If people are going to trust Rabbi Lazar, they might give him an Iska B'loi Sa'adim. And what's going to happen? They might lose their money. So because of this, Reish Lakish never spoke with Rabbi Lazar before Hesia. Tapela, Rabbi Lazar's Mara D'Ara D'Yisrael. How could you not trust Rabbi Lazar? So it says in Rav Margolis that the answer to this chida, the answer to this mystery lies in the Gemara that we just learned. The Gemara here at the end of today's daf Ayin Hamad Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Mishi Yesh Loi Mois, if somebody has money, Umalva Oysim Shaloi Be'edim, and he lends them Shaloi Be'edim, Oivim Mishum V'lifnei Iver Loi Sita Mechshol. Because you're incentivizing this person, maybe, to not repay the loan. There's no Edim anyway, so you're Oivim Lifnei Iver. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish said, Goyrim Klol Ala Atzmai. That if you do that, you should know, you're being Goyrim Klol Ala Atzmai. And then the Gemara told the story. Amalei Rabbanu Ravashi, the Rabbanan told Ravashi, Kom Mekayim Ravinu Kol Mad Amar Rabbanu. You know, Ravin is Mekayim everything that the Rabbanan say. So Ravashi says, I want to see if that's true. So it was Erev Shabbos, it was Ben Ashmoshes. Rav Ashi sends a shlich to Ravina, and he says, will you please loan me 10 zuzim? Because there's a business opportunity that I have that can't wait until after Shabbos, and I want to buy it right now. So Ravina told Rav Ashi through the shlich that if you bring Edim and you document this in a shtar, I'll give it to you. Because you can't be mal with somebody shmoy be Edim. So Rav Ashi sent back to Ravina. He said, Afila no nami, even me. Shalach le, so he told him back, Kol shkein mar, I'm certainly worried about you. You know why? The Torah begirse. Because you're so Torah begirse, mishtali, I'm afraid that you're going to forget. V'goyim klola atzmi. And you're going to end up causing me a little bit of klola. Incidentally, Ravina was worried that Rav Ashi was going to forget. I once found a fascinating simin in one of the Sfarim from Agoyin Hagodah of Yaakov Chaim Sofer Shlita. It's in a Sefer Edus B'Yaakov Chelek Beis, it's Simin Chav Zayin. The topic of the simin is Rav Ashi's memory. That's literally the topic. Rav Ashi's memory. And he has a whole bunch of different chazals where you find Rav Ashi's forgetting things. The Gemara Ksuba Staf Chav, Rav Ashi says in Masechtes Erevin, Daf Nun Gimel Amad Aleph, he was talking about the Yeridus Adairis. He says, we are to the Friya de Gedar, as it relates to shikha, kishem shah etzba noyach likones befi habar. What does that mean? It means that if somebody puts his finger into a pit, it's going to be very easy to take your finger out, right? So think of this huge pit, you put your finger in, right? Nothing obstructing it, it's going to be very easy to pull it out. That's how Torah falls out of our heads. We hear it and boom, it goes out. It's so easy for us to forget our learning. This is Rav Ashi talking. A Gemara, incidentally, that Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer doesn't quote, is a Gemara Masechtes Maakon, Daf Chaf Kesem Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that the Malach HaMavis once met Rav Ashi and he said, you have to come with me. So he says, do me a favor. I need 30 days. I want to chaza my learning. Because Ashrei Misha Bali Kamet Habu Dabi Yadir. Rav Ashi had a chaza one more time. He had to make sure he was going to know his learning. But Al Kupanim, you find this inyan of Shikra Rav Ashi. So one of the Gemaras, Rav Yaakov Chaim Sofer, Shtel Tzu, was this Gemara right here. That you see Rav Ashi and Shikra, that Ravina was worried about Rav Ashi. But said Rav Margolis, Odover Nifla. He said, Reish Lakish is the one that said in this Gemara, that if somebody's Malvas Chaveri, Shaloi Be'edim, he's Goyrim Klal Al Atzma. That's why Rish Lakish was so sensitive in Yuma Daf Tes Amud Beis to speak to somebody in the Shuk. Why? Because if somebody would speak to somebody in the Shuk, Yavalei Iska B'loi Sahadi, and if he's going to be Yavalei Iska B'loi Sahadi, he's Goyim Klola La'atzmai, and Rish Lakish L'shitasso, Yubav Mitziah in Amud Beis, he doesn't want to be Goyim Klola La'atzmai. But then the Gemara told a story, a real life story with the Ravina Rav Ashi, where Rav Ashi tried. He said, even me, you can lend me. Come on, I'm Rav Ashi. And what did he tell him back? He said, Kol Shkein Ma, the Torah Begirse, because you're so Torah Begirse, Mishtali v'goyim kol alatsmi. So Rabbi Magol said, "This Gemara Masechtas Erevin Daf Nun Dalit Amud Beis." The pasuk says, "Ayelas Ahavin v'yalaschein tadeha yiravucha b'chol eis ba'avasa tishket amid ba'avasa tishket amid." A person can become a sugar poshit from the fact that he loves Torah so much. So the Gemara says, "Who's a dugma of ba'avasa tishket amid?" Gagayim Rabbi Lazar ben Padas. An example of this would be Rabbi Lazar. Amar all of Rabbi Lazar. They say about Rabbi Lazar, "Shai yoshev ba'osik b'Torah b'shukatachin shal tzipayri." He would sometimes be learning by the shukatachin of tzipayri, v'sadinoy moto b'shukat elyon shal tzipayri, and he had his rekel in the shukat elyon. Why? Because he was so ba'avasa tishket amid. He was so meshiga from his learning that he poshit didn't know where he was, and he would forget his coat. Adkidekach sadino is something you would forget. So he said, Haflav a fellow, Rish Lakish Lishitasa, who said that if someone's malvas chavesh loy be'edim, he's going to call Latzmai. And Rabbi Lazar Lishitasa, who was Mara the Arad of Yisrael, but he was also Bavasa Tishketamid. And because he was Bavasa Tishketamid, he knew, Rish Lakish knew that Rabbi Lazar, he forgets Mamish Hasadin. So he says, if I'm going to talk to Rabbi Lazar, people are going to trust Rabbi Lazar, and they're going to go ahead, they're going to give him Iska B'loy Sahadi, and Rabbi Lazar is going to forget, just like Ravina was worried Rav Ashi was going to forget an argamara. Rabbi Lazar forgets his rekel. He's certainly going to forget the money. And I'm going to be kodem klol atzmi. So Rish Lakish would not talk to Rabbi Lazar. Why? He wouldn't talk to him because he was afraid somebody would give him an iska b'loy. Not because Chalila b'meizah, this is something he wasn't going to do. But just based on this Indian that he was ba'avasa tishketama and he was concerned. Beis Hashem, tomorrow we're going to come back to this Gemara and we're going to speak out some additional rate.